brings us to our text tonight, and we see the goodness of the kingdom. Jesus reveals that the goodness of the kingdom is shown in two primary ways. The goodness of the kingdom is shown in two primary ways. The first is in our treatment of others. And that's really what our text verses focused on, is how we treat others, right? The golden rule there in verse 31 is do unto others, you'd have them do unto you, right? If you're going to treat somebody in a certain fashion, is that how you want to be treated? A lot of times we teach this principle to kids, and especially when they're learning and they're younger, and helping them understand why we act and we live the way that we do. We see first is this, that Jesus is calling us to love others as we want others to love us, and we're going to call this a selfless love, a selfless love. What do you think we're talking about in that before I get into anything else? What is a selfless love? Or an example, maybe. Say it again. Not fully loving. What do you think? What else? Selfless is when you take yourself out of it, right? You're showing somebody love. You're showing someone compassion. Maybe it's a gift, or maybe it's just an action, or maybe just an attitude, and you're doing it wholeheartedly just for that person's benefit and just to be a blessing. And you're taking, here's what it is, selfless is literally taking yourself out of that situation, right? Not expecting something in return. Not expecting them to, whether it's getting paid back or whether it's something else. Sometimes it's maybe an example of a selfless love is giving something anonymously. Right? Our family did that, has done that a couple of different times, and there was one time at Christmas we had a family who was friends of ours, not super close, but they were friends, and they were just struggling. They were just battling things. And so we went as a family, and we bought presents, and we wrapped them up, and we left them outside their door at night, and then we looked at the weather, and it said it was going to rain, or actually it might snow. It was too cold to rain. And so we got a blue tarp out and, like, bundled them all together like Santa's, but it was blue, not red, and put a bow. Why? Just because we wanted to give something. We just wanted to be a blessing to someone else, right? That's a small example of selfless love. We're to treat others in the way that we want others to treat us. Leviticus 19 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Romans 15, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The overall treatment of people and goodness is based upon selfless love, right? Putting someone else in front of you, whether that is a family member, whether that is a friend, whether that is a coworker, whether that's someone in the church, whether it's just someone we just happened to come across in the street, but that's showing selfless love. You're putting someone else in front of you. We see a couple areas specifically that Scripture talks about, and by no means are we going to, this is an exhaustive list, but the first is husbands and loving your wives. Ephesians 5 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. There's many examples, there's many pieces of Scripture that command the love of a husband to their spouse, right? We're supposed to love our spouse as we love the church, and we're supposed to love the church as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church by giving his life for the church. And you see that step-down piece, and when we think about it, when we dwell on it and understand that ultimate sacrificial love. Parents, to love your children. Psalm 103 says, like as a father, and they use the word pitieth in Psalm 103. In our vernacular today, When I think of pitieth or pity, I don't think of something good. Like, oh, I pity the person, right? Mr. T, I pity the fool, right? You know it. But that's kind of what we think of. That word, if we're going to put it really in our vernacular today, is compassion, all right? So like as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for them that fear him. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, commanding how we're supposed to treat our children. We're also supposed to show that compassion, that love to fellow Christians. Romans 12, be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Galatians 6, bear ye one another's burdens and to so fulfill the law of Christ. And then we're also supposed to show love, not just to, you know, you think about it, well, husbands and wives, sure, I get that. And oh, my kids, absolutely, I love my kids. And believers, well, sure, I love believers also. But we're also supposed to show love, guess who? The unbelievers, right? It doesn't stop within the guardrails of what we think or what we want. Proverbs 29 says, the righteous considered the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it, right? The righteous, the saved, that's who the righteous is referring to. It says, considereth the cause of the poor. They're considering other people, but the unbelievers don't. Right, we're supposed to stay focused upon every single part, if you will, every single segment of humanity. We're supposed to show love. We're supposed to show grace. We're supposed to show generosity. We're supposed to share ultimately Jesus Christ with them. So the first we saw that we are to in our treatment of others, that Jesus is calling us to have a selfless love towards these people. And then secondly, we see in our lending to others. Now, this can be a fiery topic, all right? So let's just go straight biblical on it. Look at verse 34 of Luke chapter 6. And it says, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. The first part, and if ye lend to them of whom ye have to receive, what thank have ye? In other words, listen, sinners can, or when it says sinners, unbelievers, can lend to people as well, right? That there's this principle here. Under the law, back in biblical law, a man was not to charge interest on what was lent. That was part of the biblical law. It was expected that the lender would receive the full principal back. But Jesus is teaching that our lending should not be self-serving. Kingdom living is expressed out of the goodness of our heart. I'll bring it back to this principle because it's one we've been focusing on quite a bit in the last 8-10 months, is why do we do what we do, right? What's the intent behind it? What's the heart behind anything? Anytime finances are brought up, obviously it can become a painful situation. We did see last week as well that out of the 29 different parables that Jesus taught, 16 of them had to do with money. And we also said that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that one out of every 6 verses has to do with money. There's a reason why Christ spoke so much about money. And it's not all about tithing. A lot of it is, a good portion of it is, but a lot of it is more around how we handle ourselves. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because money will stress a relationship out, whether it is a marriage, whether it is a friendship, whether it is just a casual acquaintances or other kind of family relationships. Money will cause more rift and more problems, not because of the paper, but because of the love, and it's, I know it's not paper, it's cotton, but because of the love of that money, right? And so we have to be very cautious of that. Luke chapter 14, he says, and then said he also to him that bade it, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again. A recompense be made unto thee. He says, hey, listen, if you're going to have a banquet, if you're going to have a party, don't call your friends, don't call your neighbors, don't call the wealthy there. But he says this, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, that thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Recompense, that word in this context, is talking about like being repaid, right? Because here's what happens. We try to outdo each other, right? We try to step up. Well, this person had a party, and man, their food was really good. So when we have a feast or a party, we got to kind of do one up on that situation. And then just kind of comes this continual competition, right? It's what do you used to call it? Keeping up with the Joneses, right? Or trying to do better than the Joneses, trying to do more or above than the neighbor, the friend, the family member, etc. Instead, he says this, he says, don't expect recompense for anything. Don't expect something back, or don't expect to do better. Don't expect any of that, but rather invite the poor, the blind, the hungry, the lame, the weak, the meek. Why? Because they can't give back, right? They can't do better. They can't throw a better party tomorrow. They can't survive hardly. And again, it goes back to what is that heart attitude behind why we do what we do. And now we see, lastly, in verses 35 to 37, the grace of the kingdom. You see, our world is in need of people who give grace to others. Is grace a very popular topic in our world today? Is it something we see practiced? If you think it is, go drive through Milwaukee. There's not a lot of grace. Never mind Milwaukee, drive on 18th. I can't tell you how many times people pass me and blow their horns and go crazy, right? You know, 25 miles out of the zone, right? They're just going nuts all the time. Instead of keeping a record of how many times we've been mistreated or keeping tally of what is owed to us, we should give grace to those who mistreat us. Look at it first through our love. Look at verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I think this is the piece we miss, I would say, probably more than anything else in our walk, in our daily life. We live, if you remember, it's been a year, maybe a year and a half ago, I did an illustration with a really long rope. You remember that at all, right? And at the very end of the rope, you weren't even here yet. At the very end of the rope, I had a little piece of tape on it. And we said this rope represents your life, right? And not just your earthly life, but through eternity. Now, if that rope was real, it literally wouldn't end because that's how long eternity is. But that piece of tape represents your life here on this earth. And here's the problem. This is where I think we miss the boat so often, is we are living our life for that little piece of tape. We're living our life for the here and the now and while we breathe. And we're not storing up treasure in heaven. We worry too much about storing up treasure here on earth. And that's what verse 35 is really driving home and trying to touch on. It says, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. It's not being choosy of who we're kind to or show love or show compassion or who we're giving to. No. When we see somebody, it's a matter of having a heart of giving. Jesus is commanding us to love our enemies continuously, not just once. This is another thing that we do oftentimes is when someone wrongs us, we'll forgive them once. We kind of keep our little scorecard. We're like, hey, buddy, strike three, you're out. Next time, I'm coming with both barrels, right? And that's how we live oftentimes. Christ's followers who love their enemies are demonstrating their devotion to the Father. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, right? That's what we're supposed to be working towards and storing up. And here's above all, that's what we're supposed to be exhibiting in our earthly life. That's when people see us, those are the character traits they should see. That's what they should hear coming from our mouth. That's what they should see as we live our life. John 13, 35, but this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You remember the last part of it? If ye have love one to another, showing Christ's love one to another. Then we see lastly in our mercy, look at verse 36. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You think about that. We said just a few moments ago that in our world, we don't see mercy being exhibited well. We don't see grace. We don't see those things being exhibited. What we need to remember, though, what we need to keep as the focus for ourselves, listen, we can't change everything out there. We can have minimal influence on everything out there. But what we can change, what we do have influence, is what happens right here. as far as who we are. And that's really what it is. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. When you get upset, when you get angry, when you don't have a sense of feeling of mercy or grace or love or kindness, what we need to remember is how merciful our Heavenly Father is, how gracious He has been to us. Jesus here is exhorting us to reflect God's character trait of mercy. The Lord wants us to show mercy to others. Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Right, told of how we are to live, what we're supposed to put away, and then also what we're supposed to exhibit. We live in a world where people are constantly demanding that accommodations be made for their rights, that accommodation be made for their every whim. But instead of demanding justice and fairness, God's people should be giving mercy. Now listen, I'm not saying that we give in to what the world is doing and give in to what they want. Here's what we are saying, though, is not in response to them, but rather what is our heart agenda, right? How are we living? Who are we? Or how are we exhibiting Christ's love? Listen, Christ's love isn't a matter of just accepting all the garbage. That's not it. We know better. That's not what's being taught. That's not what's being shared, but a matter of how do we go about it? What way, what manner do we show? What kind of heart do we have towards people? We talked about that a Sunday or two ago. Sunday morning, a week or two ago, where we talked about just a little bit. We touched on, you know, love, God's love. We love all people. We love every single person. As a Christian, that's what we're supposed to do. That's who we're supposed to be. But here's the difference. It doesn't mean we love all ideas. It doesn't mean we accept and tolerate all ideas. Why? Because if it's against the Word of God, if it goes against the Bible, it's wrong. Whether it's their idea or listen, or whether it's my idea. If it goes against the Word of God, it's wrong. Lastly, in our forgiveness, look at verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. See, now Jesus teaches that we can show forgiveness by refusing to judge. We should be quick to show mercy and forgive others rather than judging and condemning them. We should be quick to show mercy instead of judging them and condemning them. I don't know about you, I struggle having a judgmental heart. I do. I don't always vocalize it. I don't always say it out there, but in my mind, it's real easy to do. Listen, it's a constant battle. It's kind of like we said before, it's not a matter of doing it once and then we're good. It's got to be a matter of this is who we are. This is how we live. Jesus now teaches that we can show forgiveness by refusing to judge. We are commanded in Scripture to leave the judgment to God, quick to show mercy and quick to forgive rather than judge and condemn. James chapter 4, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In other words, hey, listen, God is the only one who has the right, the ability, or anything else to judge. Who do you think you are by judging someone else, right? It goes back to that, having that little, you look at your brother or sister's eye and you see that little speck of dust in their eye. Meanwhile, you got the whole beam, right? The telephone pole coming out of your own. Forgive, to let go, to let free, release. It's our responsibility to forgive those who have wronged us. Matthew chapter 6 says, for if you have forgiven men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ephesians 4, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the reminder that we all need to have. That's how we all need to live, is remember what God has done for us. When you have the desire to be judgmental towards that person, towards that situation, towards fill in the blank, that needs to be our reminder of, hey, I remember what God did for me. I remember how God saved me. I remember how his grace is prevalent upon me every single day. The kingdom of God is not about doing things, but about having a right relationship with God. We say that so often as, you know, it's not a check the box, right? Being a Christian is about doing things. Being a Christian is about being like Christ, or striving to be like Christ. When our relationship with Him is right, we'll have the capacity to live with the giving, the goodness, and the grace of God's kingdom. It's like this. It's like staying between the lines, driving down the highway. God gives us guardrails. He gives us clear direction on how we ought to live in every single part of our life. It's a matter of, are we choosing to obey that? Are we focused? Are we doing and just living how God wants us to live? That's the question. That's where we have to challenge ourselves on how we are going to choose to live if